service begins out here. We'll be following your green sheet, if you want to take a look at that. It will include everything, including the hymn, that once we get into that she'll start singing. And so we'll process on in. As you'll note, much of it is symbolic. The cross of Christ, Jesus Christ, opens the gates to heaven, and so you'll see us knock on the door, and then it is unlocked and allows us in, and inside in heaven is the rejoicing and singing, and that's where we're going to go. B. If you'll process up the middle aisle, put your palm branches at the foot of the cross, and go back to your seats by the side aisles, and then at the end of the service, you're welcome to take any of those palm branches. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the crowd at the gate of Jerusalem with palms in their hands gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son as he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as the Son of David, who comes in the name of the Lord, and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, that when he comes again, we may go forth to greet him with faithful and steadfast hearts. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Here ends the gospel.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us go forth in peace. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who has sent thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, that all mankind should follow the example of his great humility, mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of his patience and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for Palm Sunday is from the 9th chapter of Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Here ends the reading. The epistle is from the 2nd chapter of Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here ends the epistle. We stand for the gradual. Thou hast chosen me blind by right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Truly God is good to Israel. He
into such as are of a clean heart. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? Our fathers trusted in thee. They cried unto thee, and were delivered.
The Holy Gospel according to the Passion of St. Matthew, the 26th and 27th chapters. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her.' Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' He answered and said, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born.' Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Rabbi, is it I?' And he said to him, 'You have said it.' And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered and said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.' Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in, and he sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you? Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood." And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" So Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Christ, with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, but his own clothes, put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priest also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember, while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' so the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Here ends the gospel. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I hope with the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
our text is from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is our text. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who has led thy dear son Jesus Christ through sufferings and death to thine eternal glory, and has exalted him at the right hand to be Lord of lords and King of kings, we beseech thee, grant us thy good spirit, that with willing hearts we may receive him as our king, and follow his example of true humility, that being made perfect through sufferings, we may enter into eternal glory. Through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are Old Testament prophecies which come to fulfillment unintentionally. Pontius Pilate has Jesus crucified, that is, hung on a tree. The religious authorities set the price of 30 pieces of silver to have Judas betray Jesus. The soldiers at the foot of the cross divide his garments and cast lots for his clothing. Those who did these things did not realize that their actions were foretold by the Old Testament scriptures. However, that Palm Sunday, that parade into Jerusalem, does not have Jesus unknowingly fulfilling prophecy. No, not at all. Our Savior is actively making these plans and doing these things so that the details of Zechariah 9 happen. Jesus has been staying in Bethany, where he raised Lazarus from the dead, and with forethought, he sends two of his disciples to go and to get two donkeys. Now, due to the directions which he gives them, Jesus had probably already prearranged for this donkey pickup sometime earlier. He rides into Jerusalem only on one donkey, on the young foal. When he rides on a donkey into Jerusalem, this is even more striking because Jesus walked everywhere that he went. This is the only time in his life that the scriptures record, or that we know of, that he rode on a donkey. Now, properly understood, a point can be made that it is the riding of a donkey that gets him crucified. All right, well, it's not exactly the mode of transportation that does it, but after this incident, which happens on Palm Sunday, after this procession, his enemies actively make plans to have him killed. Why is that? Well, now, at every other time, Jesus had discouraged any kind of messianic display towards him. Think about it. The demons are not allowed to acknowledge him as the Son of God. The crowds desire to make him king, and Jesus snuck away. The disciples professed privately that he was the Christ, but not publicly. Earlier, when they wanted Jesus to enter into Jerusalem publicly and openly, show himself to the world, he refused. But on this day, Jesus not only allows, but he makes plans so that it happens. He actively encourages and receives the praise of the crowds. They lay down their palm branches and their coats. They praise him with words from the Psalms. And even once in the temple, the little children praise his holy name. We learn from from St. Matthew that there were actually two crowds, those who went before and those who followed after. Now, those who followed after were those that were with Jesus. You see, they had been with him when Jesus was in Bethany. You might remember he raised Lazarus from the dead. People had gone out to see him. Well, they're out there with him. And now that he is going into Jerusalem, they're with him and they follow him. The crowd that went before is in Jerusalem already. And when they heard that Jesus was making an entry into Jerusalem, they then came out of Jerusalem to meet him, to greet him. Someone must have run ahead, informed them that this Jesus parade was coming. I tell you, it was planned. Now, it's quite ironic, having said that Jesus is intentionally fulfilling prophecy and planning this, it's ironic because when Jesus was glorified, that's only when the disciples didn't understand what was going on at the time. They didn't know that this was being fulfilled. Only after Jesus rose from the dead that, well, it says that they remembered these things, were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. So Jesus is doing it intentionally and actively. They're doing it, well, unintentionally. But to get back to Jesus. So why? Why does Jesus do this? What is the purpose for the Palm Sunday procession? Well, it is found in Zechariah 9, verse 9, and there are three parts. One, the prophecy needed to be preached. Two, the believers needed to learn the purpose for the Messiah's ministry. And finally, the people needed to rejoice greatly in their salvation. Let's take a look. Listen to Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Well, St. Matthew, when he is explaining this, he begins with these words. He backs up a bit and says, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. Tell her. It needs to be preached. Number one, the daughter of Zion refers to God's people, the people who live in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was once called Zion. And so Christ coming into Jerusalem needs to be declared. It needs to be preached. I need to tell you. I need to tell you so that you will know all of the facts. The daughter of Zion or Jerusalem has now become the Christian church. And so if it needs to be preached, well then listen up and I will preach it. We have a king and he has come to us. I have good news. Due to our sinfulness, we were unable to ascend and come to him. And so he humbly came down to us. This king comes for the purpose of our rescue. Zechariah says that he does not come with military might. He does not come forcing us, his way upon us. It says that he is lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. You see, Jesus told Pilate concerning this military might. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from here. And so we see that the one who comes to us is lowly. That is, he doesn't bring about his kingdom by force. He does it by the proclamation of the word. Tell it to the daughter of Zion. That's the way the kingdom comes. That is why Jesus wants me to preach it. For you to listen. Because faith comes by hearing. Number two. Why shall I preach it? It's so that this Jesus, who is just, that means righteous, he is just and having salvation. He is a righteous king. He has come to accomplish his salvation for us. This salvation begins by his sacrificing for us, himself, and once they have crucified him and killed him, this righteous one will rise from the dead. our King will live to extend his kingdom of salvation to many. He will complete this salvation by the word of proclamation so that we receive and we believe in him. And he wants us to receive him as our King. Pilate asked him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am, and for this cause I was born. I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." So what is the purpose? What's the content of the preaching? That the King of Kings not only dies for our sins, but was raised for our justification. Alive, our Jesus proclaims this good news of his coming to us and his kingdom, that all who believe in him will share eternity. Number three, last of all, when this fulfilled prophecy is preached, there will be great rejoicing and singing and shouting. Zechariah says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem." The coming of Jesus will bring about rejoicing and shouting when you recognize who he is and what he brings. Then you will rejoice. Hosanna? Yep, that's an appropriate word. It means Lord, save us. When you're confronted with any attack or affliction, Hosanna, Lord, save us. The people on that first Palm Sunday were chanting the words of Psalm 118. "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." So too, our rejoicing here in God's house, well, we rejoice. All glory, Lord, and honor. Yeah, that's an appropriate way to rejoice. You are the King of Israel and David's royal son. Now in the Lord's name coming, our King and Blessed One. That is our rejoicing and singing. Today, with Palm Sunday, we enter into a week, a glorious week of rejoicing. Rejoicing in our King who comes to help us. Our humble Jesus desires us to hear the good news of our salvation. Preach it. Preach it. Our righteous Jesus has come to save us from our sins. That is his purpose. He establishes his kingdom through suffering and dying, and he brings peace to the nations through his salvation from sin. Christ's entry into Jerusalem is the commencement. It is the beginning of his reign, and through the proclamation, the preaching of his word, the daughter of Zion comes to learn who her righteous Savior is and that his kingdom is established through the forgiveness of sins. So then, there in his kingdom, there will be rejoicing. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Create in me, page 18, we stand.
Create in me, Father, heart of God.
Couple of them made it into the bulletin. One is Mary's relation. We will pray. Also, Clara is pregnant, and we will give thanks and pray for her and her unborn child. A couple of prayers didn't get in there. I'm going to include Karen's cousin. Terry passed away. We're going to pray for her, his wife, Rachel, suddenly passed away, and so we will pray for them. Also, Susan Plock gave birth quite early, had a 5-pound baby that was rushed to St. Louis. At this point, both mother and child are doing well, as we've been praying for their safety, and so we will give thanks, as well as ask the Lord to continue to bless them. The word is that maybe today, tomorrow, something that they both may be able to come home. So we will give thanks for that. Let us rise and pray. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee for all thy goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of thy dear Son, for the revelation of thy will and grace, and we beseech thee so to implant thy word in us, that in good and honest hearts we may keep it, and bring forth fruit by patient continuance in well-doing. Most heartily we beseech thee so to rule and govern thy church universal with all its pastors and ministers, that it may be preserved in the pure doctrine of thy saving word, whereby faith toward thee may be strengthened and charity increased in us toward all mankind. Grant also health and prosperity to all in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all our judges and magistrates, and endue them with grace to rule after thy good pleasure, to the maintenance of righteousness, and to the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. May it please thee also to turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their enmity and be inclined to walk with us in meekness and in peace. All who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially those who are in suffering for thy name and for thy truth's sake, comfort, O God, with thy Holy Spirit, that they may receive and acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of thy fatherly will. And although we have deserved thy righteous wrath and manifold punishments, yet we entreat thee, O most merciful Father, remember not the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions, but out of thine unspeakable goodness, grace, and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger of body and soul. Preserve us from false and pernicious doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of thy mercy, and from an evil death. And in every time of trouble, show thyself a very present help, the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe. Cause also the needful fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations, to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and crown them with thy blessings. We ask your blessing upon our Bishop James and our pastors Michael and Gary, also upon Pastor Maureen and his congregation in Columbia. Be with our armed forces, especially Jason and Blake, with our police officers, also Daniel and Alex, with our shut-ins, including Carolyn and Patty, with our elderly, including Violet and Tom. We give thanks to you that you have preserved both Susan and her unborn child, and we ask, dear Lord, that you might continue to extend your loving hand upon them to protect and guide them, giving the doctors and nurses skills they can to bring this child along, especially keeping safe until the baptismal washing. We ask that you would be with our students, with Tom and Kara, Jonathan, Sarah, Sadie, Alexis, and Jessica. Provide for the needs which you know, Lord, for Larry and Deb, Christina, for Jim and Charlotte, Rusty, Philip, and Mervon. We ask that you would be with the nephew of Mary, with Adam, who has gone through open heart, and we ask that you might provide him healing as well as that he might know that you are the one who provided it. We give thanks to you for the pregnancy of Clara, and we ask that you would keep her and her unborn child safe. We ask that you would be with Terry's wife, that she might be comforted in the midst of this untimely death. Your ways are not our ways, but we ask, dear Lord, that you might teach us to trust in you, even the midst of this, that you will work out all things for the good. These and whatsoever other things thou wouldst have us ask of thee, O God, vouchsafe unto us for the sake of the bitter suffering and death of Jesus Christ, thine only Son, our Lord and Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we purpose to come to the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, it becometh us diligently to examine ourselves, as St. Paul exhorteth us. For this holy sacrament hath been instituted for the special comfort and strengthening of those who humbly confess their sins and who hunger and thirst after righteousness. But if we thus examine ourselves, we shall find nothing in us but only sin and death, from which we can in no wise set ourselves free. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ hath had mercy upon us, and hath taken upon himself our nature, that so he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God. and for us and for our deliverance, suffered death and all that we by our sins have deserved. And to the end, that we should the more confidently believe this and be strengthened by our faith in a cheerful obedience to his holy will, he hath instituted the holy sacrament of his supper, in which he feedeth us with his body and giveth us to drink of his blood. Therefore, whoso eateth of this bread and drinketh of this cup, firmly believing the words of Christ, dwelleth in Christ, and Christ in him, and hath eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification, and rendering unto him most hearty thanks for the same, take up our cross and follow him. And according to his commandment, love one another, even as he hath loved us. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink of this one cup. Page 144 in your blue, we stand. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is good and right, Lord, to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. On the tree of the cross you gave salvation to mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame, likewise by a tree might be overcome, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. hearts unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with you in the Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.